can very easily understand where there is an opportunity for low priced food where you overdo it.
Yeah. Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining the show. This is a bonus episode. Thought we'd get on here, do a little sports wrapping, little extra for you guys. So we're doing it. I am joined now by friend of the show, just a great friend in general, somebody that you're all familiar with, Mr. Travis Rogers. Trav, what's up?
Hey, buddy.
How's it going, dude? How you been?
I am fantastic. Like you said on Twitter the other day, it was white middle-aged guy Christmas or the Masters, you said. It was very exciting. I like having things on at 6 o'clock in the morning out here. The Masters should be rain delayed every year, so I don't have to wait until the middle of the day. It's a good weekend.
Usually, white guys, it's in April that white guys spend the whole weekend yelling at their wives and ejaculating all over themselves alone. But now but because we were locked down, we had to do it in November, and it was a little different, little bit of a different feel. It was the Masters golf tournament was played this weekend with no patrons.
Mm-hmm. That's lame, by the way.
Yeah.
Both calling them patrons and the fact that they weren't there.
So I got a lot of questions about what they do there, and we'll get more into it because we took some questions on Twitter. I just put out a tweet if anybody wanted to ask anything, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But my first takeaway, I'm not one of these, I play golf badly, but I'm new to the game. I'm aware of who the golfers are. I've never sat down and watched 4 days of a golf tournament. And I didn't sit down and watch 4 days of this, but it definitely, like you're saying, it was nice to have it on in the morning, and I'm glad they've gotten away from that thing where they're like, we're not going to let you watch till 11 a.m., even though there's guys out there playing and we have the internet these days. It was on, but I have to be honest, pretty boring.
The Masters?
Yeah.
Pretty
boring tournament.
Great. Look, reason it wasn't on TV for the first part when they would come on at 11 or whatever it was for years and years, there's a great rumor. I don't know if this is true or not, but I choose to believe it. And we're post-fact, so it doesn't matter. If I think it's true, it's true. The reason they didn't have the front nine on TV for years and years and years and years and years was because the front nine kind of sucked.
Right.
And it wasn't up to the standard of the back. It wasn't nearly as pretty as the back. It wasn't as picturesque as the back. So the guys that run that place down there, obviously they do not do anything they don't want to do. So they didn't put it on TV just because it wasn't pretty. That was the rumor. And you look at it, and it's obviously really nice, but it's nothing like the back. The back is gorgeous. The front is just kind of like, okay, it's fine. It's Augusta. It's green, white sand, but there's nothing particularly exciting about it. So I choose to believe that to be true.
I did kind of notice that with no galleries, patrons standing around. It was like, oh, this is just a golf course. They're just playing at a golf course here.
And the patrons, it's a mixed bag, because what makes it fun is everybody screaming and yelling and having a good time. That is fun. When somebody hits it close and everybody goes crazy, that's great.
Yeah.
When somebody gags a 2-footer and everybody goes, that's fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
Just seeing a bunch of SEC fans with their trucker top golf hats and everybody wearing their golf shirts from all the clubs they've been to, those people need diseases. I mean,
they do.
It is awful to look at. And they're all exactly the same guy.
Yeah.
They're all doing exactly the same thing. And it's mostly just jealousy because I'd like to be one of them.
Right. They all have to golf it up. I'm the most golf. It's like going, it's like you go to a concert and it's like a rule. You're not supposed to wear the shirt of the band to the concert. Although I'm okay with that if you do, but there's always somebody that's got to wear the most obscure band shirt or do something to kind of like show their bona fides in that genre of music or music in general. And that's these guys out on the course where they're like, some of them have their golf shoes on.
That's a bad look. And they have their own little little tripod seat to drop into. That's bad. The way you know you're about to get one of those guys that's not at a golf tournament, you're going to get nothing but those guys. But you will it's kind of hit and miss when you go to play. Like, some more often than not, you'll get a guy that's a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
You'll get a group that's not a bad draw. The odds are in your favor. But if you have a guy that's got aiming sticks in his bag, get ready to have a bad day.
those are those things you put down in the tee box to make your toes, right. Make sure your toes are on the right line.
Yep. Make sure that your alignment is proper. Just hit it.
Yeah.
Just hit it. Yeah. If this was this important to you, you would be at a club. If this was this important to you, you'd be playing for a living. Stop. It's Saturday afternoon. Put your alignment sticks away.
Get a Coors Light out. Also, the guys that have that thing that retrieves the ball from the water.
They won't even sell that to you unless you're 65 right. years old.
Yeah, we're like, what is that thing? It's crazy.
I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to need to see some birth certificate.
Where's your Medicare card? So I'm not saying that watching golf in general is boring, or even watching the Masters is boring, because it's definitely not. We all remember last year, maybe the most exciting Masters that's ever happened.
It was great.
Tiger Woods, 43 years old at the time, 4 back surgeries. 15 years. No, how long? 2008 to 2019. 11 years removed from a major championship. Really, his life fell apart. It was, everything was there.
He went through some stuff.
Yeah, he went. Yeah, he had some deals.
Yeah, still does.
Everything that, you know, came together on that day, and it was close. You know, he had to come from behind to win, and just it was all the drama was there. What I'm saying is, this year's Masters was real fucking boring. This Dustin Johnson guy just boat raced everybody. Yeah, we were all kind of like had that thing where he gags a lot, which is really fun. And we were hoping that he would. And then he made 2 bogeys and we're like, oh, right, maybe he's going to gag again. But then he birdied the next hole and then it was just over. My question to you is, with the Masters, the granddaddy of them all, what I don't know what they call it. It's everybody loves it the most. Mm-hmm. Isn't it supposed to be hard? The fucking guy shot 20 under. Not the John Deere Classic. We're not at TPC Sawgrass here. It's the Masters. It's supposed to be hard.
I hear you, and it should probably be a little bit harder than it was, but they got a bunch of rain, so it got soft, so there wasn't a ton they can do about it. That being said, I don't want to watch guys slap it around and hit 2-footers off the green.
Me either. That sucks.
I don't want to watch that. This was a little too gettable.
Of course.
I didn't mind it. I think the bigger problem wasn't so much that Dustin Johnson blitzed the field, or even he might throw it away, because like you said, that may be something that he has in his back pocket. It's who is chasing. I don't care about Cameron Smith.
Right.
I don't care about Sungjae Im. Ooh, you know, Justin Thomas is okay, but whatever. Rory would have been interesting. He was way too far back. And then everyone else, if it's not Tiger or Dustin Johnson being chased by somebody, or Phil Mickelson or one of those older guys, I know there's a bunch of good players, but they just don't move me in any meaningful way. And I'll be honest. I want to see a collapse, or I want to see somebody just be absolutely dominant. And we got DJ being dominant yesterday, so that's good enough.
It's pretty boring, though. I get what you're saying. Like, you want there to be a threat of, you know, some real hand-to-hand combat. To go off.
Yeah. Right. Somebody needs that. If somebody, like, for instance, when Johnson was kind of scuffling on the front, if somebody could have gone crazy on the back, like when Rory made the turn, you're thinking, you know, if he kind of gets really super crazy hot on the back, he's got a chance. He didn't. I think he shot an even par on the back or whatever it was. But there should be that opportunity for somebody to go super low to catch somebody that maybe is spinning their wheels a little bit. And it just didn't happen yesterday.
Yeah. As a casual golf observer, I mean, I feel like I know who the players are. I had never heard of Cameron Smith before this weekend. But I mean,
you're kind of into his deal, though. I can tell, because he's got that grody mustache. Grody. He's got that stringy hair. Yeah. He's got a bad look.
Yeah, he's Trav.
Yeah,
he's sponsored by Munsingware.
The little penguin.
Yeah, he's basically like a younger Australian blonde version of me. He's got the stash. He's got the cool hair.
I don't like your stash either. Yeah, it's very uncomfortable. I didn't like Cameron Smith's stash. I think we should be in a post-stash world.
He might be the guy. He might be Beckner's guy from now. But does he play on the PGA Tour? Or what's his deal? Well, like, where'd he come from?
He's an Aussie, but I have no idea if he's good, if he got lucky. Right. I don't know. I don't. I fancy myself a golf fan, but I can't go deep enough to give you the Cameron Smith bona fides.
First player in history with all 4 rounds in the 60s.
I did see that, and he got crazy. Smacked by five shots. That's a weird combination.
Yeah, yes, that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. So, I mean, it was boring in that sense. The other big story
in Sanjay M's face.
Well, okay.
There's a lot of face there.
Yes,
more face than you have or I have. He just seems to have a lot of face.
See, the thing with Sanjay M. Here's another guy I never heard of. And I follow Norm Macdonald on Twitter, and he's always like live tweeting the majors, and he's really good at predicting what's going to happen. He's just, you know, he's a gambler. He's just into this shit. And so the whole time he's like, you know, DJ does this. He's like, I still think M's going to win. And this is the whole time he's saying it. And then M, he just blew up on Sunday. And I was wondering if it was due either to the lack of or availability of pimento cheese sandwiches.
He looks like he would fancy one. Yeah. That's for sure.
Because you know how like a Budweiser's $4 at the Masters? Like, mm-hmm. You figure, like,
I think that sandwich is like a buck.
Yeah, it's like a buck and a half. Yeah. 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 It's like Sanjay, I feel like that's a problem for him. You can't just have $4 Budweisers. It's like with those minor league baseball games, do all you know, you buy the one big cup for $8 and then they'll just refill it with beer the whole night and then everyone gets arrested. That's Sanjay if there's too good and too inexpensive of refreshments on the course.
Look, I'm not going to say that this has ever happened to me. I'm just saying that I can very easily understand where there is an opportunity for low priced food where you overdo it.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's a place, for instance, that had, say, you know, bean and cheese burritos for 50 cents a piece, might be an opportunity to eat more than that than you would probably need. So if Sanjay got a little deep into the pimento cheese, I'm not going to judge.
Yeah. Just, yeah. It's so cheap. Throw an extra one
like
on there.
You feel like you're losing money. You know, okay, I'll give me two of those. You know what? I won't eat them all right now. Yeah. Just give me four. I'll throw a couple in the bag. And you've eaten all four before you've even left the putting green.
Maybe the guys want one. And then it's like when you have that extra thing, or you ever try to eat half of something and it just like the rest calls to you?
You go through the process of wrapping it up and putting it back in the fridge, and it lives in there for what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, I know. Because you think about it and you remember how good it's
there.
Just not that long ago, I got a hoagie sub sandwich, and I ate half of it, and I was like, I was satiated. I like to be satiated.
Sure, we all do.
I was satiated, but then I put it away. I set it aside, and I was like eating the chips, and I was like, man, that's a fucking good sandwich. Like, I could probably have like one or two more bites of it. And then you're like, what, am I going to put it away with two bites taken out of it?
Right. No, then you got to finish it.
Right. You just got to eat the rest of the thing.
When it comes to sandwiches, you are almost insatiable.
Yeah, that's it. That's true. I cannot be satiated with via sandwich or other things.
Well, Tiger's insatiable.
Speaking of that, he's... Poor Tiger. He's got a lot going on. Here's the thing about Tiger that's we don't give him enough credit for. His ability to focus, to compartmentalize. When you look at what was going on in his life at the height of his ability, at the height of his greatness, he was like flying women. So I had to go through like seven words that I was going to say, and I had to stop myself from saying all seven words. And then I said, women. He was flying women all over the country. He was bringing like multiples to the tournament, or having them set up in his various homes and yachts throughout the country. And he's juggling all these things while he's winning every tournament that he enters, every major tournament that he enters. He's a married guy. So he's
got
a
more.
Right. He's living in this place where his life is an actual fucking mess because of his own doing, because of his needs.
Sure.
And he, I mean, yes.
No, he obviously had deals, and, yeah. and I don't know. He may still, and he obviously got hurt a little bit along the way. But you're right. The ability to play at the level that he had for such a long time while having that other stuff go on for as long as he did is pretty extraordinary. Now, look, we've all been in situations where you think you've got a handle on it, and then when it all comes apart, you realize, okay, this was I was barely hanging on anyway. But I've never seen anybody have so much control of their life to having no control of their life as quickly as he did. That's what made last year so much fun.
It's crazy.
That he came all the way back from that. And look, by any objective measure, Tiger is not a good guy. Okay.
Yeah.
He's not, but he's still one of those guys that inexplicably we all root for. Oh, I do.
Yeah, like, of course.
There's nothing about him other than his ability to play golf that I'm particularly admirable of. I just, you know, but when he's in a golf tournament, I want him to win every single time he tees it up. Every time I want to see him win. And I don't know what that says about him or me, but it's true.
Yeah, it's true. Like he's everything I don't like. He's such a dork. You can tell he sort of tolerates his fans. He's just, he's not engaging. He's a robot. He can't talk normally. He's gotten better these days because he knows he's not really competitive. And if he is competitive, it'll be on a lark. So he's just kind of having fun right now and stacking checks, which is okay. But I always root for him to win. I always want him to win because that dominance was just to get a glimpse of it feels so good. But then the guy made a 10 on a par 3.
Yeah, it happens, right?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't happen.
Well, if you hit it 10 times, it's a 10.
Trav, I'm the worst golfer you know, and I don't make a 10 on a par.
That's not true. Let me just say that is very untrue, but go ahead.
I'm not a good golfer. I don't make a 10 on a par 3. Like there was a 10 in the water three times.
Here's my deal. Yeah. I think if guys genuinely played by the rules, right? And I'm not suggesting anybody do this because a round of golf would take 8 hours. Yeah. But if your average weekend guy out there played by the rules, they'd make a 10 probably every other time they play.
Right.
But what happens is you hit it in the water, you go to the other side of the water, you go to the drop zone, you chip it onto the green. These guys don't have that luxury. So if you hit a bet, if you, for instance, had a 180-yard par 3 over water, and you kept dropping, you could easily make a 10.
That's true.
And we don't expect Tiger to do it, but the rest of it just, put me down for a double, and you just keep it moving. That's not, he didn't have the option. I loved it. I loved it because not only was the 10 just like, wait, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
But he played lights out after that. That kind of goes back to what you were talking a second ago, that this guy is just, he's a different guy where he can, he was out of the tournament anyway, but now he's really out of the tournament. Any meaningful money, not that that matters to him at all, but just the whole positioning, everything was out the window. It would have been easy to just kind of chop it up the rest of the way in, and he didn't. He actually played the lights out the rest of the way.
Didn't he birdie like the last four holes or three out of four?
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, he birdied, I think, three of the next four, and I want to say ended up shooting a 40 or maybe even a 39 on the back with a 10 on the card.
That's pretty crazy. You did mention something there that I don't think that enough of us pay attention to when we're watching
39 on the back, bro. I just looked it up.
That's
with
crazy.
A 10, a 39.
That's crazy. Not enough of us pay attention to this when we're watching the tournament because we're like, these guys are so rich. And it's, you know, they make so much money anyway, but they're playing for money and they know that and that matters to them. So the difference between being in the top five and being in the top 10, it can be hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that really, really matters to these guys. And I don't think we pay enough attention to that or talk about it enough because they're thinking about that while they're out there.
Of course they are. It's their livelihood. I mean, it's what they do. Here are the numbers. Dustin Johnson won the tournament. He won just a shade over $2 million, $2,070,000. The guys that finished in second, half that amount. They got $1 million and change. And then it falls off. It just keeps getting cut in half, down to 500,000, down to 400. It falls off fast. So those guys miss one of those putts, it is literally tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's awesome.
It's crazy. I know. It's one of my favorite things about golf is just that there's so much juice on the line for these guys. Another thing we got to talk about This guy, I know he's one of my favorite golfers. He's probably yours as well. Bryson DeChambeau.
Worst.
He's like all innovators, like everyone that came along and revolutionized something. He takes a lot of heat, and I will say this, he does sort of bring it upon himself because
you think?
He's not only does he go out there with 13 seven irons and a 48 inch driver, which I think he might reassess after this tournament. And not only is he jacked beyond like, Remember when we thought Tiger was jacked? Like, uh-huh. I mean, it's not Brooks and Brooks.
Well, look, Brooks and Tiger are super fit. Yes. and strong. Bryson's a little different.
He looks like a defensive end.
He looks like something. Yes. And I'm sure it's just a coincidence that his teeth are spreading apart. And that's the same thing that happened to Ben Johnson and Barry Bonds and all of these other guys, that when your teeth start to pull apart in the middle of your 20s and 30s, it's perfectly normal.
Skip braces.
There are no other explanations to that, just because every sprinter in the world and swimmer in the world has adult braces. Don't let that read anything into what you're looking at.
Is it normal to go from a size 7.5 to 8¾? Hat size in your late 30s? Does that happen a lot?
He's such an unlikable guy.
Yeah.
Because he's arrogant. He makes it sound like this is the only way to do it, that if you're not doing it, you're falling behind. And look, he's obviously a pretty bright guy, that he's able to figure some of this stuff out.
Got 2 degrees. But
everybody on that golf, Jim Nance is pretty obsequious, right?
Yeah.
He is not going to say,
I mean, if I knew what that word meant, I would agree with you.
Jim Nance is obsequious. You know exactly what it means now.
Okay.
So even Jim Nance was like, yeah, I don't know if they're going to find that one. Like, he was openly rooting for them not to find his golf ball.
I know.
It was great. But John Rahm's kind of like, they're looking on that left side. I think it was the third hole.
Yeah.
And Rahm's just kind of walking around, looking at the birds in the trees, like, no, man, I don't see it. Like, everybody out there was praying that they would not find his ball. Even the other guys on the tour who are not particularly well-liked at different times. Phil Mickelson was not a popular player for a really long time.
They didn't hate his guts
the way that they hate Bryson DeChambeau, which makes it very, very fun to watch. And I hope he continues to do what he does, because if he ever backs off of his deal, he becomes just another one of the faceless guys. Like, Justin Thomas is a great golfer, right? I'm sure he's a really nice guy. He's good on TV, all that stuff. But he doesn't really move me in any meaningful way. I don't care if he wins. I don't care if he loses.
He's so skinny.
It's not really interesting to me.
Yeah.
He's very skinny. But Bryson, you're hoping that he breaks the head off of his driver every swing. You hope that nothing ever works out for that guy.
I mean, I don't. I root very hard for him because he's a disruptor. Like, he's like, I don't want these staid country club brats. these rich fucks that have had everything handed to them their whole fucking life. Go fuck all those guys. I want the guy from Modesto that went to SMU that's just completely doing it his own way. And yes, he's also an asshole. Like, sign me up for that.
And the name is not really helping anybody. Nobody's like, oh, my buddy Bryson DeChambeau.
Well, that's
never been said. Your buddy is Dave. Oh, yeah, right. My buddy Dave. My buddy Mike and I went and had a few beers. Oh, Bryson DeChambeau and I were hanging out. It's such a stupid name.
So well, like, Bryson DeChambeau, that's an Engelbert Humperdinck situation, right? Like, Engelbert Humperdinck is not his name. His name is not – he gave himself that name to help his career, to be more memorable. So Bryson DeChambeau, his name is probably like Dave Smith.
Dave Davis.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, something normal. Hold on. I need to know. I've had to look up Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah.
Arnold George Dorsey.
George Dorsey's a good guy.
Right.
You can go have a beer with George Dorsey, but Engelbert is a different. Plus, DeChambeau is using those fat grips on every club. I hate that. He's got the little hats, which are totally ridiculous. I hate that. There's just nothing other than he's great TV because you want somebody to root against. There's nothing I need out of that guy. He does bring that. He's the one guy out there right now. Well, I shouldn't say the one because I aggressively root against Lee Westwood. I aggressively root against Paul Casey.
But you never have to see those. Those guys are never on a leaderboard. Like you're never. What are you going to see, Lee Westwood? You're not following the Asian tour.
It's the best part because he shows up. Yeah. He'll shoot like a 65 on the first day of a major, and everybody goes, "Oh, maybe this is Lee's year." And it's never Lee's year.
No, never.
It's never. Just like I got bad news for Ricky Fowler. It's never going to happen for him.
So I've been meaning, that's something I wanted to bring up. It's also never Lee's year to make an appointment at the dentist. I wanted to bring up Ricky. So right now, you know, there's always a conversation, the best player on tour never to have won a major. Mm-hmm. And I think probably right now it's John Rahm because he wins tournaments. He's always on the leaderboard. He's in the money every week. He's clearly one of the best players on tour. But also when John Rahm showed up, I was like, hey, who's this 49-year-old qualifier? How come I've never noticed this guy on tour before? And all of a sudden he's winning. Like what, how did this guy figure it out? And then they're like, oh no, he's 24 and he went to Tempe Tech, Arizona State. And I was like, what?
Well, Rahm is a little bit unlucky. And I think that because Rahm's game is legit and he is going to win a major because he's not scared. He's shown time and time again that he's okay with stuff like that. Ricky is a different category, which we can get to in a second. But Rahm is a little bit of an unlucky situation because he's playing in an era where tight pants are the thing.
Yeah.
And he's playing in an era where a very tailored golf shirt is a thing.
Yeah.
These items are not his friends.
No.
He needs to go with a little bit more of a billowy khaki. He needs to get whatever X amount of shirts he has right now. He needs to go up an X.
Another maybe X.
Two. Yeah. He needs to add an X plus. And then just kind of let it go. I get it. He's going to look a little frumpy. He's going to look a little dumpy, but he's not going to look like a 26-year-old with a 58-year-old's body.
So John Rahm, he's got the mom or he's got the body of your lesbian aunt's roommate.
Is that true? I don't have a lesbian aunt, but okay.
If you have a lesbian aunt and she's got a roommate, you know, she's in her 60s, they're best friends, they go on vacation together. I mean, they have their own bedrooms, but when you stop by to help them move a couch, you notice that like one bedroom doesn't, it's a little dusty in there. Doesn't look like it gets used that much. They live together. They go to the movies. You know, it's cute. They're just really close friends. Well, John Rahm has your lesbian aunt's best friend's body, and it's much like Sung J-im's face.
It's just a lot.
Sung J-im. All his extra face is on the sides.
Well, and underneath, where his chin ends, there's still additional face below the chin.
Yeah, but he just doesn't carry the face in the right places, the extra face. There's ways to carry some extra face.
Oh, and, I'm well aware.
Right.
That's why I grow a beard occasionally. Right.
That's a lot of guys with beards, they're hiding some extra face. Similarly, John Rahm, he's got a lot of extra body. But he keeps it all on the sides of his body, which is the worst thing. You know, a lot of us into our 40s, we got a little extra body, but we do the smart thing and we let it hang out there in the front. You keep it all in the front and it's like, hey, what's, you know, he looks like he has a couple beers, but you can't really tell for sure. When you let that slop from the front slide over to the sides, and in John Rahm's case, also the back.
He's a rectangle.
Yeah.
His shoulders and his waist and his ankles are exactly the same width.
Yeah.
Like there's no, like even like I'll use myself as an example. Oh, as somebody who's heavy, the top is round and not a great shape. Same. But I have a waist. My shoulders are wider than my waist.
Yeah.
My waist is a little bit narrower than when I'm standing still with my feet on the ground. His is just, he's a perfectly rectangular human. Good golfer.
Yeah, no, he's really good. And I don't follow the tour that closely. So there might be somebody higher on that list, because again, while John Rahm looks like a 49-year-old man, he's a relatively young guy. He's like new to the game. So he might not even have been around long enough to be considered, because usually you have to linger for a while. Remember,
right.
Phil Mickelson was that guy forever. For so many years, and then he stacked a bunch of majors and wasn't that guy anymore. A lot of people will say the Ricky Fowler is that guy now, but we need to take Ricky Fowler out of that conversation, because he's never going to win a major. He's just not that guy.
The difference between Mickelson and Rahm and some of these other guys, and I'm going to get this a little bit wrong, but it won't be big time wrong. I think Ricky's only won like 3 or 4 tournaments.
Yeah.
Like Mickelson had won 30 or 40 tournaments or whatever it was before he finally punched his ticket. John Rahm is winning tournaments. Dustin Johnson only got a second major yesterday, but he's won something like 25 PGA Tour tournaments. Right. These guys win all the time. They just don't win in those events. Ricky, again, seems like a good guy. Seems like a guy that'd be fun to hang out with. Yeah. He seems like a good friend. Like I would love to have beers with Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
But you can feel it. Every time he gets close, he shits his pants and he immediately is out of the mix. And once he's comfortably out of the mix, he starts to chip away back into it, because there are no expectations. The second there's an expectation on that guy, adios.
Yeah, it's true. It's I remember I was watching that one thing. It was like when they were talking about starting tournaments again, and then they're like, well, oh, it was like a skins game, or it was like a team thing that they did earlier this year where they carried their own bags. Mm-hmm. And Ricky was teamed up with Matthew Wolf. Yeah. And the guy with the weird hitch in his swing. And they were on a team, and it was like a playoff hole. They were playing off against Rory, and Rory was bragging about all the FedEx Cups he won and stuff, which is pretty, again, like these guys play for money. And he's right. Talking about how much richer I am than you. Hey, do you guys know how much richer I am than you?
A lot richer.
I'm so much richer than you. Like,
you guys are pretty rich, and you guys probably like rented a plane to come here.
Right. I got my own.
It just waits for me.
Yeah. Because I've won 2 FedEx Cups. I can do that. I can just buy my own plane. It doesn't matter. But it was like, it came down to a playoff, and Ricky's like teamed up with Matthew Wolf, and Matthew Wolf was going first. And he's like, okay, you got to show me something here. Got to show me something. And it was a par 3, and Matthew Wolf hits his tee shot and it lands like 6 feet from the pin. I'm like, oh, I guess he showed him. And then Ricky comes up and he hits his tee shot and he shanks it like onto the right, like a shot I would hit. Like, yeah. If there were another fairway there, it would have landed there, but it was just a bunch of trees and shit. He just like way, like completely out of it. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, he's that guy.
Yeah, he is. Even in that little made for TV studio. Yeah, no, it's, I hope he gets one, because I like him, but he's not going to get one.
Yeah, he seems like
a normal guy.
Yeah, he's almost having too much fun. Like, he's not a robot like the rest of these guys. He's almost got that John Daly thing where you're like, he's not hitting 5,000, like he's not getting done today and then going and hitting 5,000 bunker shots. He's just not that guy. He doesn't have that in him.
He knows how to have a good time, which I don't know. Like, Tiger doesn't, I mean, other than certain things that he had appetites for, it doesn't seem like Tiger really liked to do a whole bunch of things other than hit golf balls and satisfy his needs.
Yeah, exactly.
The Vijay Singh, you know, famously would go out there and hit ball after ball. Bryson is one of these guys that goes out there and hit ball after ball after ball. Ricky seems like, yeah, I'll hit a few and I'm pretty good at this and I'm super rich and I'm going to be super rich and I'm going to continue to be super rich and let's go get dinner.
I like that. Yeah, that's what I would aspire to. Like, I got all the big sponsors. Like, he's doing Maybach commercials. Like,
that's a good sponsor.
Yeah, like Madison Avenue loves him. He's wearing the monochrome Puma shit. Like, he's maximized his thing and I respect that. I need to ask, like, I don't understand Augusta. Like, I was watching just a little bit. I was mostly watching the ESPN Plus, but then yesterday I just saw if it was going to be on regular TV. And so I turned it on and there was Jim Nance talking. And the reverence that these guys have for this golf country club, whatever it is so fucking weird to me, yeah. Travis. I don't understand it, because he's like, and I should have quoted him exactly because it was just so odd, but he was like, and, you know, thanks to President, whoever's in charge of the Masters, he's for his great guidance. Yeah. For his great leadership and guidance. And I'm like, dude, like, I'm sure there's somebody that's like in charge of Wimbledon. And when, mm-hmm. but when you're watching Wimbledon, John McEnroe and Bud Collins aren't like putting a pillow under their knees and dropping down and like putting a napkin in their shirt to openly show love to whoever's the fucking president of Wimbledon. Like,
yeah,
who gives a fuck? It's a golf tournament. Like, I get it's a really nice golf course. There's a lot of history there. But why is it that the Masters, way more than anything, there's nothing even close to it. The Indy 500, whoever's in charge of the Indy 500 is not just feted. He's not like loved throughout the broadcast. What is it about that tournament, about that place, that makes these guys so reverent to these shit kickers in Georgia?
There's only one explanation.
Yeah.
They insist upon it.
Right.
They insist upon it because there's no other explanation for it, because you're right. There are other great institutions where you don't have this very measured, very respectful, obedient, subservient tone where you never raise your voice and you don't make eye contact with the chairman. Yeah. And you just sit there with your hands very neatly folded in your lap. And yeah. You do what you're supposed to do. And there's no reason that you would do that unless it was very made very clear to you, this is how we would like this to go. Because famously, you know, the CBS has been doing it forever, but they have a one-year deal on top of one-year deal. Right. So they're not going to rock the boat. If the Masters didn't want their tournament talked about that way, they would say, hey, please change the tone. They never have. The tone has been the same. I get it. Golf kind of likes to, you know, taste itself a little bit when it comes to its history and all that stuff. But yeah, the Masters thing is beautiful. It's a fun tournament. And I would suggest everybody just kind of leave it at that. Cause if you really start to dig into the history of that place, it's not great. It's really, truly not great.
And you don't have to comment on this, but I did see they paid tribute to Lee Elder, who was the first black man ever to play in the
70s.
Yeah, in the Masters tournament.
In the 70s.
Talk about a fit god. They showed him at one of his Masters, and he was wearing burgundy Sansibel slacks with a matched burgundy Munsingwear shirt tucked in with a matched burgundy visor. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I would dress like that every single tournament if I could, but it just, and it was nice. They set up some scholarship or foundation for Lee Elder, and they had Lee Elder there, and it just didn't feel real organic to me.
It's weird. I try very hard. Kelvin, my old partner on the radio, pointed it out to me at one point. I swear to God, this is just me being ignorant and stupid and not kind of seeing it from another person's point of view. But he said to me, he goes, they call it the Masters. And I'm like, yeah, so?
Yeah.
And he looked at me, Travis, it's called the Masters. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not great.
Travis, I'll be honest. I never thought about that till you pointed it out to me. Said that to me before. I was like, I thought it was just because they're all real good at golf.
Me too. Yeah. I don't think that's why they like that.
Right.
I don't get, considering the history and considering the guys that formed the place and considering the caddy rules for a long time. Yeah. I have a feeling there are other reasons it's called that.
Yeah. It's kind of upsetting. We should talk about Dustin Johnson. Well, I put it out to some of the fans here, some of the Twitter mm-hmm. followers. And I just asked if anybody had any questions for us. I feel like Dustin likes to have a good time. And we know that Dustin likes to have a good time. Remember when
nothing's been confirmed.
Trav, remember when he got suspended?
Well, I thought he just was taking a break. Did they ever officially call it a suspension?
I think they did.
Say why he was suspended. Just, you know what? I I hereby agree with you that I should not play the tour for a while. Right. Peace out.
Was he like, I'm going to go play AA baseball in Birmingham, Alabama for the White Sox affiliate?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't feel, even though I'm the best in the world at this now, I think now would be a good time for me to go away for a while. See you later. And sorry about that, fellas. My bad.
Yeah. I mean, he's got, look, I mean, the guy's 6'5". He's in amazing shape. Like, he looks like an athlete on the course. He's really good at golf. Although I will say, not having patrons there was probably the what Dustin needed to put him over the hump. I just feel like he's been known to pucker up quite a bit in these big tournaments. He's missed some bunnies out there on the course. And the fact that there was not anybody really around watching, I don't know. I guess I could see it both ways. Like, it's like watching these baseball games with no fans. I was like, I wonder if it's kind of worse. Like, they feel like there's more attention on them when they're in the batter's box because there's just no one around. It's just like so quiet. But golfers, I feel like it kind of helps that it's just like you're just kind of out there playing with buddies and there's no fans. Do you think that kind of helped or hurt DJ?
I think, well, look, when Rory McIlroy was talking about DJ after the tournament, one of the things he said was, you know, he's a lot smarter than you think. That's never a good sign.
No one thinks that. Like, no.
Well, and no one has ever said, hey, you know, Albert Einstein's a lot smarter than you think.
Yes.
Stephen Hawking, that guy's a lot smarter than you think. Jeff Bezos, he's a lot smarter than you think. Now, what you say that about is, you know, that kid over there who's eating paste, he's a lot smarter than you think. And I think that's what it is. I think that he's one of those guys that doesn't quite take it all in, but doesn't quite miss everything either. It's just little fits and starts. I mean, he and his brother out there are known as Dumb and Dumber by the other guys on the tour, at least some of them on the tour. And I don't know. There's got to be something there. I think there's a, like Kawhi Leonard, for example.
Great player.
He's a fantastic player, just like Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
But there's a certain amount of obliviousness what's going on around you because no one is that cool of a customer, right? No one is a cool customer where if your shot bounces on the rim five times and then drops through to win a playoff game where you just stare like you're ordering food in at Denny's.
He didn't seem to realize the game was over.
I don't think he did. I just think that there are certain guys and it works for him. And I think Dustin Johnson falls into that category. I'm just going to go up here. Where do you want me to hit it? Over there? How far is it? Okay. With what? Okay, cool. And he'll hit it and then he'll walk. Okay, now what? And I don't think he really thinks it true. So I don't know if it had too much of an effect on him one way or the other, because while he has gagged a few away, the one at Whistling Straits where he took that stupid penalty, the one at Pebble Beach where he spit the bit on the last day, those were bad. He's also had some where guys just came out and flat out outplayed him on days where he played pretty well.
Yeah.
Like Morikawa at the beginning of the quarantine with the PGA up in San Francisco. Dustin Johnson played really well that last day. It's just Morikawa went nuts.
He went crazy.
Yeah. So it's not always gagging. I just think he's one of those guys that doesn't care. That's not the right, but is kind of unaware of everything that's going on around him. When he broke down yesterday when talking about Tiger putting the jacket on him, I was really surprised. I didn't think he had that gear in him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. That it's also kind of got to hurt a little bit to be called dumb by a guy from Ireland.
Well, Rory doesn't seem dumb.
Oh no, I know. I'm just saying. It's just kind of weird.
You don't ever want to hit Brian. If you ever hear me say to somebody, you know, Brian's a lot smarter than you think he is, it's probably not a good sign.
Well, it's also a lie. That Whistling Straits thing.
Yeah.
So that was that one of those ones where somebody called?
I don't think it was a call in. So not to be this guy, I've played that golf course.
Yeah.
And half, if that's a bunker, then the entire place is a bunker because that's all that place is sand and weeds other off of the fairway. It's not like where if you go to most golf courses, you miss the fairway, it's in some long grass or some trees or the desert or whatever it is. The whole place is sand with little shrubs growing all over the place. So I've never blamed him for that. I blame the caddy for maybe not knowing the rules exactly, but that one kind of, I'll give him a pass on that.
I mean,
one.
The whole course is a bunker. Like, what's, right. How do you know when you're in a bunker? And also, nice course.
It's pretty. It's on Lake Michigan.
Golf courses are supposed to be grass, dude.
Like, it's cold up there. It only gets played like 6 months out of the year.
Yeah, cool. Cold. Yeah, cool golf course. So I, on that topic, I took some questions from Twitter and our friend Telly.
Yeah.
Telly Two Putt. You know, are you familiar with Telly Two Putts having to rebrand himself as he was Telly Two Putts.
Uh-huh.
And then he had to rebrand himself as Telly Two Putt.
Why?
Well, cause he threatened to kill a bookmaker on Twitter for disrespecting Tiger Woods.
Oh, wow.
But it was it was in jest, but I had to have him come on this podcast and tell a story. But his question to you is just this, Paulina.
Well, okay, so here's the thing with Paulina that I noticed yesterday. With the girlfriend or the wife of the winning player coming out onto the 18th green is not unprecedented. I think we all knew that was going to happen yesterday. Yeah. What was unprecedented was that long after Dustin Johnson had walked off the 18th green, she was still there.
Oh, really? Well, there was cameras.
So she was just kind of lingering to make sure that everybody that needed a picture of her was able to get a picture of her. I was fully in support of whatever she wants to do. I'm a fan of Paulina's. I think that she's been very good influence on Dustin. Yeah. I like her style at these golf tournaments. She's there to be seen as much as everybody else. I respect that. And I wouldn't say I'm a big fan, but I'm a fan.
She's
not really my deal, but I'm still a fan.
I would say the same. She's not. It's not really what I'm typically attracted to, but I'll make an exception for her because she's so stunning. It's ridiculous.
And she's very physically fit.
She's just incredible. She's beautiful. Like, she's incredibly hot. Like, she's perfect. Everything about her is perfect.
And she's putting in time in the gym. She looks great.
Yeah. She keeps it tight. I
wouldn't put it like that, but
I mean, physically, like, she does a lot of crunch planks.
Yeah, no, she's fit.
She keeps the core tight, Travis.
Right. Jeez. Oh, yes.
She's the hottest athlete wife.
No.
Hold on. Hold on a second. Just hold on. She's hotter than Giselle.
Yeah.
Giselle's masculine.
Yeah, she's not my cup of tea. That's fine, though. Amanda Duffner, I'm just going to jump right to it. Amanda Duffner, Jason Duffner's ex-girlfriend, does far more for me than Paulina Gretzky.
Amanda Duffner was really hot, but so I agree with you. Like, I would be more attracted to Amanda Duffner, but she's like regular chick hot, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, but that's more my
agreed. Point. Yes, totally. Yeah. But like, if you polled the audience, is my point. Like, all sports fans.
Well, yeah, she's got the classic blonde hair and all that kind of stuff. So I get that. But I'm going to go way back on you for saying you might. Do you remember the pitcher for? I think he pitched for the Pirates most of his career. Remember Chris Benson?
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah, he was a big nerd.
Wife Anna Benson.
Yes.
I kind of liked her deal.
She did a Playboy.
Did she really?
Yes, I believe. I didn't know that. Because she got a little too mouthy.
Well, she basically ruined his career.
Yeah.
And when he tried to move on, she's like, "No, we're not going to do that."
Yeah.
And yeah, she was pretty bawdy in her comments. Yes. I liked her.
He eventually sent her away, I think. And she kind of had to do her own thing. But you look at, like, usually you look at athlete wives and you're like, they're hot. They're like hot for regular chicks. But Paulina's like on, you know, she's as hot as any actress or model
She could be rolling with like F1 drivers.
Yeah,
exactly. That's her. Well, that's a different category altogether.
She'd have to wear flats.
Well, she would be absolutely towering over the vast majority of them. They're a smaller lot of guys.
They're smaller guys. Trav, and this has been a topic on my show for a couple weeks now. I don't know why. Take, for instance, F1 driver Lewis Hamilton. He's just locked
up. Seventh-time world champion.
Seventh world championship. The guy wins every race. He's the best. How many, if you had to guess, pairs of high-heeled boots do you think he owns?
Several. I would say that whatever he likes, like I don't know where somebody that's that rich and famous goes shopping, but wherever he goes, he probably pulls one off like most of them. Oh man, this, I like this one. Does this come with a heel?
Right.
is there anything like, I'd like this, but with a 2-inch heel, like whether it's Jordans or Chuck Taylors or really fancy dress shoes or whatever. Like, I really like this perfect color, perfect cut. But if there's a way to get this in a boot, I'd like that.
Yes.
So I think he's probably got a few pairs of high heeled boots.
Yes, you're probably right. And plus he's, you know, he's British.
Right. Well, he's British. He's a race car driver. He's several, like, I don't know if this is a thing that they do in F1. I'm kind of new to the sport. I'm still trying to figure it out a little bit myself. But, you know, a lot of NBA players have like their sneaker museums in their house where they put all their Jordans and stuff up.
Yeah, I do. I know about that. Yeah.
Maybe Lewis could have a high heel boot museum.
Right. He's like, he collects like Prince's tour boots. He's like, look at this. Look at this perfect size 6. Prince wore these. Prince Rogers Nelson wore these on the 1995 Sign of the Times tour. Look at them. Look, they're kind of scuffed up on the toe from when he slid on his knees across the stage. Can you believe that? I own these. I have these. Like, they're like high heeled boots of significance for wee statured guys.
I wish I could wear them, but they're a 7 and I take a 6.
Right. A little too big. A little too big.
Lewis is a very fast driver. I like him.
Oh, you know, he's great. It helps to be on the best team in that sport.
It does. Although he wins every race, even if he gets sent to the back, he still finds a way to win.
Yeah. But they're going to even, not to get too into F1, but I think they're reining it in next year because
year after next,
Petronas outspends everybody by quite a bit, I think.
Yeah, that would give Williams a chance. Right. Imagine being on Williams. That would be
Williams is one of the greatest teams in racing history.
Not anymore.
Well, yeah, they're bad now. What about the pink team?
As I know, Racing Point, right?
Yeah, Force India. Yeah, Racing Point.
Well, Force India guy got sent to jail.
I know.
He's in exile or something. He's not allowed to have the team anymore.
Do they have cigarettes in that jail? Because he needs lots of those.
Well, Europeans in general.
Right. Yeah. Worst livery. Like, there's only 20 seats in F1.
Oh, the worst livery right now is Haas.
Yeah.
It's nondescript.
It's like kind of silver, isn't it?
Yeah. And it just says Haas on the side. No, that theirs is the worst.
Well, the pink Force India, what are they called now? You just said it.
Racing Point.
Racing Point. That's worse. That's worse. The best livery.
At least you can see it on the track.
The best livery. I go back and forth every week. The best livery. It's probably Red Bull.
It's not bad.
But McLaren with that the yellow and orange. Oh, yeah,
McLaren's orange is spot on. I like that.
That's what I meant. Orange, Carlos Sainz. Orange or blue. Yeah, Carlos.
Have you got a chance to see Carlos Sainz's sister on that F1 show?
I'm familiar. Yeah, I'm familiar. Yeah,
I'm a Carlos Sainz fan.
Yeah, she's Spanish. I've seen her. I'm
the Spanish aware. Have it figured out better than anyone else.
They take a nap in the middle of the day.
And they eat really well.
Yeah.
And they all look pretty healthy. And they're all multilingual. The Spanish have kind of figured it out.
They also get it in. Oh, this is a good question for you, Trav, because it's almost like this person, the Fixer Esquire, has read our group texts.
Uh-oh.
Are we entering an era in golf where we are rooting against more golfers than we are rooting for?
100% true. Yes. Yeah, because think about it. I'm trying to think who I would like to see win a tournament. I like it when DJ wins. I like it when Tiger wins.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even mind if Ricky Fowler wins a turn. I'd like to see him win one. Sure. I just don't think he will. But other than that, there's a bunch of guys I don't care one way or the other. Like, I kind of root for Koepka a little bit, but there are far more guys I'd like to see implode than there are guys I'd like to see win. And at the top of the list is Bryson.
Right. And also Patrick Reed.
And Patrick Reed. I don't. But see, everyone Patrick hates. And Bryson. Well, of course, he wears a choker necklace.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't wear
he wears
choker.
Red on Sundays.
Yeah, I do like that because it kind of trolls Tiger. I kind of dig that. But yeah, Patrick, and he cheats. Yeah, Patrick Reed's a pretty unlikable guy.
He'll ground the club. What about, has anyone ever said, hey, you know that Brooks Koepka? He's a lot smarter than you think.
Well, I put it to you this way. I wouldn't be surprised if it has been said. I would, although he's pretty good at trolling, and he hates Bryson, so therefore I have to be on Team Brooks.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
I do like that he trolls Bryson for, you know, not being as good as he thinks he is.
Yeah.
And he does push back a little bit. I think he might be smarter than you think he is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, he's that kind of smart that it's like they can really focus on one thing. Like you couldn't.
Yeah, task oriented.
Right. Like Brooks. Like he's not going to know a lot of facts or figures or like, hey, Brooks, who's the vice president? And he's like, who gives a fuck? You know, like stuff like that. Like, hey, Brooks, the three branches of government go. And he's like, he just points to his ATM card. You know, he's like, hey, I'm rich. I don't need to know about this kind of shit.
I figured he'd drop a D's nuts in there.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. yeah, I could see him do that. Here's a question from good friend Dolomite D. He was the first ever Patreon to this show. He was the first ever Red Circle member.
That's
big supporter. Generous. Hasn't been doing a great job of updating the Baller Lifestyle Reddit page, which is but no one really, not a lot of people go to that anyway. But maybe if it was updated, more people would go to it. On Reddit, I don't even know how to tell people to go to it. On Reddit, something underscore, I don't know. It's the Baller Lifestyle subreddit.
I've never been on Reddit, so I don't know what it is.
It's terrifying.
I just thought it's where all the conspiracy theorists and like snuff filmmakers and all that. I don't know what it is exactly.
No, Reddit's like mainstream now. All the snuff people are on QAnon, or no, on 8chan. So just
there's multiple chans?
Yeah, there's multiple chans. It's crazy. Oh, okay. But he's got a question. Please ask Travis about the effectiveness of Dr. Pepper as a contraceptive. Why he hates that Peter North is his neighbor. Also, please ask him if Bryson will slim down like LeBron to get quicker. Did if the PGA bans HGH like the NBA did? That's a lot of questions. Trev, I've always wondered about the Dr. Pepper thing. You had a roommate or a friend.
It was a friend of mine in high school.
Yeah.
Who he believed that if post encounter, if you forced your female companion to chug a Dr. Pepper and then jump up and down on her heels.
Oh, on her heels.
Yeah. So you'd have to jump up and down on your heels and that would prevent pregnancy.
Interesting.
I do not swear to its effectiveness. I have never tried the doctor, but his thing was that immediately after you need to chug a Dr. Pepper and jump up and down on your heels.
I just pictured you pouring it on each other's genitals.
No, it's for internal use. You drink it.
Okay. Kind of internal.
Yeah, okay, drink it. That's why I qualified it.
Yeah.
You drink it and then you jump up and down on your heels a few times and then you're good. You can just go about your day.
And Peter North is not your neighbor.
Not that I'm aware of. No, there was a rumor that he lived in the general vicinity of where you and I live, but I've been very fortunate to never see the man, so I'm just assuming that's not true.
Many friends of mine, not many, some people I know told me they would often see him at the gym.
Oh, no.
Yeah, getting his lifts in.
Yeah, I know. I feel like he'd be one of those guys who would kind of be peacocking his lifting too.
Yeah, oh,
he'd
sure.
be in there really grunting. Letting you know that grunting and he'd have a tank top for sure. And he'd be strutting around, letting you know, hey, I'm here, I'm getting my workout in.
Yeah, he likes to show you what he can do. he likes to demonstrate his abilities. So he'd be like, hey, check out this squat. And also, let me show you something else. Let's go in the locker room.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I understand that they serve a purpose. I just prefer to have them not be in my general vicinity.
Kind of like when things weren't going too well for Dirk Diggler back in the day.
Eddie. Yeah, Dirk had a bad. Eddie Adams from Torrance was having a hard time, and you know, Dirk. That whole world is just makes it's
unfortunate.
Uneasy.
It's unfortunate. Yeah. He had to earn. You know, he had to find a way to earn some money. And so
he went to the bank teller.
Yeah, he hung out there by the bank and just
the drive through banking,
right? Like back in the day. Okay,
what the scariest guy in the movie, by the way, who was driving that truck, by far the most unsettling character in a movie filled with dark characters.
He was really excited to be the one that drove the truck. Like they they were gonna go do something awful, and they're like, okay, one of us has to drive, and he's like, I'll drive. Like, if you guys don't care, like, if you don't, would you mind?
None of you guys want to do it. I'll do it.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah. He wasn't bummed to get the show.
He was uncomfortable with what he was experiencing. So he didn't quite know how to react. Yeah,
exactly. Budding also asks, and I've been wondering about this too, Trav. Please also ask Travis if he takes his mask off at the store to consume Budding. And we've talked about it on the show before. You go to the grocery store and you'll just go over to the bakery and get one, sometimes two, bagels dry
They're not dry. They're jalapeno cheddar bagels. They're delicious. Yeah. They're soft and chewy. They're fantastic.
And you'll just walk around the grocery store eating that bagel. And then when you check out, how does it work with the bagel? When you check out, do you hand her like the empty sack? Or
goes in a sack. There is no sack. Sometimes there'll be those little pieces of a wax paper that you can pull out to get your bagel out of the thing. This is all pre-COVID, of course. You can't do this anymore.
That's over. Cancel.
So I would eat it, and then I would throw the little piece of tissue paper or wax paper, whatever that is, in the cart, and that would remind me to tell the lady, hey, touch me up for a jalapeno cheddar bagel too. I already ate it. And she'd give me the look and like, okay.
She gives you the look, and then she has to get out that book probably and be like through the pages till she finds jalapeno cheddar. One jalapeno cheddar. Can I get a price check on this? Guy ate it in the store.
More than once, though, they would just, do you know how much this costs? I say, yeah, they're 99 cents. Yeah. And they just go beep, 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 beep. Yeah. And then 99 cents later, I'd be good. But no, unfortunately, my Budding consumption, my jalapeno cheddar bagel consumption has been terminated because of COVID. Look, there's a lot of downside to COVID that we all know, but this is clearly near the top of the list.
It's the worst one. Absolutely. You can't, no more gray, not quite meat in the grocery store.
It's all the pressings.
Yeah, it's like what's left. And then they're like, oh, just fill it up with some other stuff. They're like, Mr. Budding, we just don't have
some beaks and some talons left. Let's just squeeze it all together.
Talons? Is there pterodactyl?
Yeah, that's that little turkey. Yeah. Well, no, whatever the nails on a turkey is called.
Yes, disgusting. God, you're disgusting.
Yeah, and you melt it down and it forms taro.
Yeah. They just smash it together.
Not taro, it's tallow. Tallow, yes. Tallow, at least, is when you do it to beef.
Right. This is from our buddy Romel. Trav, how would Fred Ridley, that's the guy where they're like, oh, thank you for your gracious leadership, Mr. Ridley. It's like Skull and Bones. They're like, oh, you've given us so much. What can we give you? How would Fred Ridley and the fine gentleman at the Augusta National Golf Club react if Travis was to have to put together his own champion's dinner inside Butler Cabin?
Well, I'm just bringing a taco guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, you told me you wouldn't love to have a taco guy, that all those former champions wouldn't love it. You've got multiple meats. You've got your carne asada, obs. You've got some sort of chicken that you can do. There's a couple of different ways you could do that. We've got some pork product. Maybe it's carnitas. Maybe it's al pastor.
Yeah.
You've got probably two different types of beans, pinto and black. You've got some rice going on. You've got your cut limes, your white onion, your cilantro. Got your salsa verde, your pico de gallo. Maybe you've got a little mole at some point if you want to throw that in there. That's what I'd do. And then, bring a keg and some martinis and let's go. God.
Fresh tortillas.
Yes. Oh, and they cook them on that little dome, on that little. Yeah. See, that's the way to do it. I don't know if the level of casualness that I would bring to it would be something they'd be there for. But Ridley, see, you got to go back. And so you go back to Hootie, who would call it the tournament. Yeah, and then you went to Billy Payne, who was perhaps the greatest caricature of that guy in the history of the world. Like, Fred Ridley is, quite frankly, pretty normal. Like, he doesn't have a weird speaking cadence. He doesn't have an accent. He just kind of is a rich guy that hangs out at the Masters and is now the next guy in line to run the place. Like, I miss Billy and Hootie. I think Hootie croaked, but I think Billy's still around. But I miss those guys, because those guys not only were swimming in the nostalgia of the place and the absolute, you know, just incredibly awkward, uncomfortable, deferential treatment that they demanded to have, but they also just ran the place so wonderfully, awfully, terribly. Yeah. That you couldn't help but kind of dig it. Like, their whole thing with Martha Burke a few years ago, when she's like, we're gonna boycott your sponsor. And they said, well,
go ahead.
You know what we're going to do there, Miss Burke? We just won't have none. And they just put it on for like 3 years without commercials. Yeah. And like, well, how do you like us now?
Yeah. Right?
And I get it. Like, she was fighting for a just cause, but not on their watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, nah, we'll do this. Not at the point of bayonet, young Miss Burke. We're going to just do it over here. And now, Jim, ask this boy some golfing questions. Just, my God.
So it's not like the Supreme Court. You're not like the president of the Masters, Augusta National, until you die.
I don't know. I guess. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to look it up. Maybe Billy Payne is dead. Yeah, maybe it is a lifetime
appointment. I go to you for this information. This is from our buddy Pete Shalitsky, who also wanted me to ask you about a couple different foodstuffs that I couldn't recognize. Hypothetically speaking, if Travis had to grab his golf towel and, quote, take
Billy
care
Payne
of...
Billy Payne is alive, by the way.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
And, quote, take care of business on a hole at Augusta, which one is the most conducive? One would think between 12 and 13. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't know the lay of the land very there, but you need a wooded area.
Of course.
Because, of course, first of all, there will be critters that will take care of that for you eventually.
I don't think that's true. I know. There isn't no critters are not going anywhere near that. What is wrong with you?
No, they maybe bugs. I don't know. Something will turn that into compost. At someone, look, there was an emergency. Yeah. It was, you know, we've all had the moment where your body says you've got 30 seconds. And if you're more than 30 seconds away from normal, you got to figure out a plan B. Yeah. And so that's why we carry golf towels. And there's a wooded area nearby. You got to take care of what you got to take care of. It happens. It'll happen again.
Was there a car wash burrito involved in that?
No, this was the night after. This may have been just bad luck. This related. Was the car wash burrito. Maybe a little bit.
I think you would want to be near Ray's Creek, though, so you could... You could dab a little bit if need be.
Well,
yeah.
You know, Ray's Creek, it was weird because it rained right before the tournament, and maybe it's the time of year. I don't know. But
it was flowing. Like,
there was actually water moving through that creek. Yeah. Usually it's perfectly still. And they've always talked about how you never see any fish or any birds or any bugs or anything in there. That water is so incredibly toxic that there's nothing in it. So I don't know if putting that in it would make it any better or worse.
Yeah, might be worse. Adam Gould has a question. Ask Travis his thoughts on no Butler Cabin handshakes this year. Oh, is that true? I thought everyone was tested. Did they bump elbows?
I was doing my Ram stuff yesterday, so I didn't get to see the handshake portion of it. So yeah, maybe they. I know there's no chance they bumped elbows in Butler Cabin. That would be, you know, what's the old guy's name? Cliff Roberts would, you know, be exhumed from his grave to make sure that they never let that happen. I don't know. Yeah, they should do that. The whole point of that thing is that awkward moment where the defending champion, in this case Tiger, is sitting there with the jacket folded in his lap, and then the guy says, well, go ahead and put the jacket on. I know you've been waiting a lifetime for this. Yeah. And then they always struggle to put the jacket on. You would think that these guys would have rehearsed this before they go on live TV in front of millions of people. And then they ask the amateur some very awkward questions about what it's like to stay in the crow's nest and all those other weird things that they've got going on there. And then it ends. And then we just wait for another year for it to come back. It's pretty great.
Wait, hold on. The amateurs live on site?
They stay in the crow's nest, Brian. It's a little apartment at the top of Butler Cabin, I think, and they all, Jack back in 61 or whatever it was, and he had three steaks one night. It's legend. And
three steaks? What a pig.
They always tell these stories. Oh, yeah, I go, you know, when I got this thing in Butler Cabin, the crow's nest, it's like, Just get a room, man. There's got to be an Airbnb nearby. Just do that.
These young boys are getting diddled, Trav. That's what's happening up there.
Well, I don't think that's
the They're like, case. Oh, we need... We need the young boys to stay close. Like let all the tournament players find their own place to stay. Leave the young boys with us. Oh, we'll have the young boys here.
We'll keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just doing it out of some sense of good citizenship, just to make sure that they're well taken care of.
If they want to be better warriors, you know, it's like those.
I don't think that's what's
like those
going
Polynesian
on.
Tribes. The Billy Payne comes in and is like, you know. What Jack did back in 1964 that helped him win is he's
hit extra balls at the range.
Is something I'm going to need you to do right now. I mean, it's up to you. Do you want to be a good golfer?
I don't think that's how that goes.
Get a green. Do you want to wear a green jacket? And also, I like how they're like Tiger had the green jacket for the longest or whatever, and now they're like. DJ, unless he wins again, will only have the green jacket for 4 months or whatever. Well, they don't make you give him the jacket.
Yeah, I thought that they did for a while, and then they kind of loosened up and guys were taking it through drive-thrus and things like that. Look, I'm leaving with it. You're not getting it back from me. If that means I can never come back, I don't care. I got my jacket.
I lost it. I don't have it.
Sorry.
I don't know what happened to it.
I've seen guys like show up on the Tonight Show with it on, so they get the lead.
My wife accidentally donated it. She put it out for the Vietnam veterans in the driveway.
I don't know where it went.
Salvation Army has it. Okay, let's wrap up there, Trav. Always fun. Let's do this again. I like talking sports with you. There's no one that knows less or pays less attention to sports than I do. So. I don't. It's good to talk to somebody that knows about this stuff because a lot of times I have questions, you know?
That's what I'm here for.
I need answers. Okay. For Travis Rogers, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com.
CBLS. Oh, yes, the Lifestyle's Baller Podcast, getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do with Easy Ed Daily and a man, Jay Stew, and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Let's connect with my brothers, reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot. Man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS.